Welcome to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, where I, Monique Chambers, am joined by businesses that have sold their product and services overseas. Welcome to this week's Exporting Malta with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Steve Mercier from Quicklets and Zanzi Homes. So where did it all start? Because you kind of came on the scene and knocked things sideways in the real estate market.
Cheers. First of all, thank you for the opportunity and for the invite. Quicklets and Zanzi, we started back in 2013,
okay.
Quicklets did. Quicklets is a brand that we believe a lot in the house of brands, not the house of branded house strategy. So we decided to specialize. That's why we have different names for different brands.
Mm-hmm.
And Quicklets was the first one, and we were one of the first people on the island to specialize solely on letting. But we have, our company has three main pillars. So we've got the pillar of innovation, the pillar of diversity, and the pillar of purpose.
Okay.
And these three pillars put together and really helped us sort of put ourselves where we are today.
Okay, so because now if people are looking for something, you just always seem to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that was, or how did you get there? How did you look at the market differently to the way all the other agents are doing business?
I wear different socks every day to remind me to do things differently.
I hope everybody changes their socks every day.
No, I mean different pairs.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, so they don't match even.
No, matching socks.
Okay.
We're always trying to do things differently. In fact, our innovation pillar was the first thing that we focused on was to create how to build a database. So our competitors obviously had a huge database, which we didn't. And we decided to create a concept called the virtual agent concept. Basically, it's really exactly what it's been done in the industry for decades.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a referral system, but referral systems before were never really advertised, and they didn't have an online portal. So we decided to create an online portal for referrals, for mm-hmm. people that wanted to refer. And this spiraled really quickly because obviously people started to realize they could get a cut of a commission for referring some information. And it took us 4 years and we had the largest database on the island.
So that's like, I've just sold my house using Steve, or I just rented my house using Steve. I go on there and I refer?
No. It's, do you know somebody that is looking to buy or rent?
Ah.
Or do you know somebody that's looking to sell or rent his
okay.
house? So if you're at Christmas lunch and your auntie says, yeah, I'm going to sell my house, you can just go in there, put in her mobile number, and then we would contact your auntie, saying we heard that your house is for sale.
Okay, so that's pretty cool then. So lots of people must,
obviously.
Well,
6,000 registered people that send us hundreds of leads every day.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So that helps you with your listing, so then you are able to have this market to be able to go out for lettings, and obviously lettings have exploded with gaming companies coming into Malta and stuff, and people moving to Malta probably wanting to let before they buy.
Generally speaking, I mean, if you, the spectrum of renters is generally expats, so 90% of the renters are to expats. The buying is more Maltese. What's happening though, a trend we're noticing, is that these expats, and when they come, they love Malta so much, they end up staying. So they come, they rent, and then they do buy a few years later.
Yeah, there comes a point where you think, I've been renting for 5 years, I need to settle down here, I need to start paying off this bill, rather. So then how did you transition into Zanzi Homes? What is Zanzi Homes then?
So Zanzi Homes is a brand that specializes on property sales.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand, the name Zanzi, my wife's name is Zana, so Zanzi,
okay. Mm-hmm.
One of the five-letter domain as well. And Zanzi, we started selling for the simple reason that was the progression of the business. So we mm-hmm. wanted to start with letting, make letting work on its own, become sort of self-sustainable, and then move into a sales brand, which we did. And today it's also almost self-sustainable. Well, obviously, I'm there every day creating, innovating, and we're 400 people today. So
wow. Okay.
We spread over 30 offices, so it's quite a large operation. And we have 15 people just on the administration side. So it's quite a big operation. You know, I mean, there's tens of thousands of owners and almost 100,000 listings now.
So you were saying earlier that you have these three pillars. So was it innovation?
Innovation, diversity, and purpose.
Okay, so diversity, tell us about that.
So the diversity pillar is the pillar of not just we sort of were the first people on the island as well to accept people for who they are and did not put a sort of, we wanted professional people which felt comfortable. So we wanted people that feel comfortable. We didn't want people to put on a suit if they didn't feel comfortable in a suit.
Okay.
And I personally used to show property wearing a sarong and a t-shirt and so, you know. That's the way I feel comfortable. And some clients don't like it, and I can understand that. But most of the clients we were meeting did like it. So I think it was a risk we took, and it worked. I mean, today, do I put on a suit? Yes, more than I put on a sarong. Obviously, Now I'm the CEO, so I generally wear a suit almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't force our people to wear suits unless they feel comfortable in suits. Obviously, there's a certain thing that they have to be, obviously, clean,
decent,
professional,
hopefully.
Decent.
Yes, yeah.
But we accept them all with tattoos, sort of, to speak, piercings, whatever, from any walk of life, as long as they're themselves and they fit into the culture. They fit into the vibe of their integrity, you know, there is customer service. Everything has to tick all the boxes.
And that's it. People attract people at the end of the day, so...
That's our whole motto. We want to attract people like our own tribe, like other people.
Mm-hmm.
The diverse pillar also stretches out into our offices. It's maybe not really diverse, but our offices are very, very much earthy-like, so the feeling is a very earthy feeling, with the whole hidden concept behind everything we used in the offices. So the marble on the steps is as close to the surface moon landing that we could find.
Okay.
So that it always reminds you every day to aim for the moon.
Okay, that's nice.
We use them wood to remind us to treat the planet Earth in a respectful way, you know. We have all these upcycled things in our offices. The exposed concrete on the ceilings reminds us to be transparent, not just with our clients, but also with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we've created like a culture and a vibe that there's no taking each other's clients, you know, there's no dodgy deals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we were hoping for from the beginning. And I feel that we have achieved quite a lot of it.
Had you worked in this field before you set up your own business, or is it just something you saw, there's a pain, I'm going to go for this?
No, well, there were a few reasons why I started up. I've always wanted to start up my own business. I was selling my mother's books at the age of 9 on the corner of the English Street for 25 cents a piece. But then my background really is I worked in a bank, a local bank, for 6 years, 7 years. But then I just wanted to travel, and I was fed up of working at that 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning. I really wanted to be flexible. I needed money to survive and to travel and to go see the world and buy a car, you know, a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a lot of other things, and I tried property. I tried it with another couple of other companies before I opened my own. With the first company I joined, I just didn't like the way they did things. And the second company I joined, I was fine in the beginning because there were a few of my friends. So, But then I got a job in the gaming industry, and I took it. But I asked my ex-employer at the time if I could work part-time at her company, and she said no. So I said, all right, no problem. I opened up a Facebook group, Property Let Malta, worked at the gaming company from 2011, and in the morning on Facebook, and in the night I was the night receptionist at Cinema Hotel.
Wow. Okay, so you really wanted to do this.
Yeah. I worked really hard for this. I mean, starting a business, as you probably discussed in your previous shows, is very difficult because you spend the first 2 years with no profit. And then the next year you start getting money, and then you start reinvesting this money back into the business. And you start saying, when am I going to get a break, you know? And the money comes at the end. I mean, I don't really focus too much on the money, but I focus a lot on the purpose.
And for you, it was, like you said, to have time to travel, to see the world, to do stuff. So can you do that now?
Well, now I've just really fell in love with my job.
Oh, the irony, you know?
Yeah, but now my vision, my purpose, I feel, has become to give this opportunity that I had to as many people as possible. That's why I'm so obsessed with bringing more people.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel that people should work flexible hours. They should have the opportunity to choose their own agenda. But yes, I have spent 2 months in Bali last year. So I go abroad at least once every 2 months. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do travel a lot.
Because I actually, you're coming back to about your people working flexibly. I always find it strange, and there's a lot of businesses in Malta that should listen up to this, because, you know, the shops that sell things to couples that are building their home shut at 1 on a Saturday. Mm. So 1 o'clock on a Saturday, you're just about have, you know, finishing brunch and getting out of bed from the night before. So to close at 1 o'clock, so you have to take a day off to go and buy a fridge kind of thing, you know, it becomes really stressful. And things like buying a house, are you going to buy a house at 9 o'clock on a Monday morning? Probably unlikely. You probably need to go and look after work at 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday, potentially on a Sunday. So your staff are actually able to put those kinds of hours in so that it fits with what you're... you know, your buyer or your renter wants to do.
Yeah, I mean, our people make their own calendar. Mm. So you've got people that are comfortable with renting 2 a month. And then you've got people that have a bigger agenda because they need to buy a house or they're going to have a baby. So they put in more hours. But that's the fantastic thing about property. Like most self-employed things, I suppose, the more you put in, the more you get what you put in. But most people in Malta see properties on Saturday and Sunday. So, I mean, every Saturday we sell 8-10 properties on a Saturday. That's our busiest day.
And that's it, because you want to do it together. You don't want to be rushing because you've got to get to work, or you've rushed from work and you've got to, and there's all those other things you have to do in life anyway. So, yeah, it just makes sense. It's so obvious. Why isn't everybody doing this? Why isn't everybody doing this?
I don't know. I wish more people...
And they're still not doing it. You know, that's the problem. You've been teaching them for years and they're still not doing it. Yeah, wake up, Malta. You know, it's like insane, really. It has to be convenient for the customer, not convenient for the staff.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know.
100%.
So where have you gone from there? Because I saw something recently about you setting up in Cyprus.
Yes, so our vision has, we've obviously, when we were making our business plan, had a five-year goal, 10-year goal, 20-year plan, and so on. Our five-year plan was to go international. So our five-year plan to go international, we're a year late. Mm-hmm. We opened up on not really a year, maybe 6 months late. But we managed to open up 2 offices in the next-door jurisdiction of Cyprus. And this, for us, is a very exciting time. Our team has worked very hard to get to where we are today. And I believe that there are huge opportunities in Cyprus, not just for real estate, but once I started looking into the country, I started to realize how many other Maltese businesses are there as well already. Mm-hmm. And the people are amazing people, beautiful people. The weather is the same like here. Lots of trees. It's amazing. The beaches never end. I mean, there's a beach which is 20 kilometers long.
I used to go to Cyprus a lot when I was younger. A lot. But why Cyprus? How did it get on your radar?
So basically, Cyprus got on our radar because after we engaged an audit firm to do some sort of...
just like survey, market research type of thing?
Yeah, that's it, sorry. Yeah, market researching. We generally wanted to go to underdeveloped countries, so we picked a few countries from the northern hemisphere of Africa. And then we also picked countries from all of Europe. This study came back, and with these findings of the study, we took a decision to go a bit underneath, in the southern hemisphere of Europe.
Okay.
Because the further up north, they're a little bit more bureaucratic, a little bit more, there's more red tape down up north. So when you're renting a flat in, for example, Spain or Italy or Cyprus, it's pretty much like here. The contract is not done at a notary, it's just an agreement, you sign a paper and that's it. And this is what we wanted to go. We know our model worked here, and we use Malta as a test market, obviously, and now we're going to use Cyprus, and then we're going to be expanding to a few other countries, such as Lisbon, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, and a few others as time goes by. Uh-huh. But obviously, it depends on the people. So expansion for a brand like ours is the key factors to find the right people, and that's it.
So are you selling and renting properties in Cyprus in Malta? Or is it in Cyprus, the property rentals and buying, purchasing is actually in that country?
No, it's in that country. It's a complete replica. So we got what we did here, and we're doing it there. We have our software system. Our tech team has developed the domains for Cyprus with a brand new database, an empty database.
It starts
from scratch, yeah.
Cookie cutter sort of.
Yeah.
Yep. And so again, trying to find people over there, because you don't know anyone, how do you go about sourcing agents in a brand new market?
Well, I mean, today, to source people on LinkedIn is really easy. I mean, you go there, you meet, you set up with a few lawyers that introduce you to a few people, you make friends with some people, you pass some people work, they pass you work. It's really all about networking and building a network. And we've been to ServiceNow about, I personally have been about 4 or 5 times, my brother's been 6 times. We've invited people here, we've gone there, we have about 3 people employed at the moment in Cyprus who have experience in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So I think looking at competitors, first thing, I mean, one of our main guys was working with a competitor for 15 years, you know. So this is how, I mean, you find someone, you give them a good offer, and sell them the vision that you have, and maybe they wanted a more sense of belonging. I think these days, all right, people work for money, but I feel that I'm seeing a lot more people that work for purpose. They want to feel that they have a purpose in life, and it's not just to make money. I mean, this guy came for much less than he was making before because he loved the brand, he loved the vision, and he felt that he was... wanted to give back more to the planet than just make money himself, you know.
Okay, so you talk about that, and that is actually one of your third pillar, purpose.
Purpose, yeah.
So tell us a bit more about the purpose of Zanzi Homes and Quicklets.
Well, I mean, every company that starts out generally starts out with a mission, either to make a profit, obviously, or else to fix a problem in some sort of industry, or to make something a little bit easier or more efficient. With us, besides all that, it was also, I've always had this mentality that businesses should give back more than they do to the communities, when they can, obviously, because a business's main purpose is to make profit at the end of the day, otherwise it would be a non-profit organization. But I feel that a lot of businesses do CSR because they're meant to do it, and it's a corporate social responsibility.
Mm.
Corporate social responsibility is just a buzzword these days. It's been around since the 1950s. I feel that the world has come to a place where we need to start doing business a little bit more consciously, focusing a little bit more on not just CSR because we have to tick this box of CSR. I feel that it really motivates people when they know that they're working with a company that really does care about the environment and really does care about the community. And that's what we created. So we created our purpose pillar, sort of the pillar that gives back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we linked on the environment. And we linked our goals. So we didn't tell one of our people, we don't tell them, listen, your target for the year is to sell 100 flats. We tell them your goal for the year is to plant 100 trees.
Mm.
With every house you plant, we'll plant it. With every house you sell, we'll plant a tree for you.
Okay.
And then we do it the same with Ghana. So we supplied internet and schools in Ghana. We do quite a lot of this work, but we pegged it to our renters. With every property we rent, we sponsor child education in Ghana.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's quite a nice thing to do as well.
Yeah, we have a country manager in Ghana. We also flew to Ghana. We even have a small office in Ghana, so we have a website.
So there's a business there as well. There's a business opportunity.
Yes, but it's
much smaller and much.
It's Africa. It's different. It's much harder. So whereas setting up a business in a European state is much easier than setting up a business in West of Africa.
And so how do you keep your standards, your ethics, your way of doing business? How do you keep your brand going in Ghana, in Cyprus? How do you manage that?
Well, basically, we've got an online academy, which is sort of, the academy is online, so everyone can read the academy, everyone can see the videos. There's like 200 hours of videos on the academy, of coaching videos, every event we've ever done, every single planting event or every single awards night we've ever done, is everything on that. What as well, we do go to quite a vigorous recruitment program. We don't just get anyone who's anyone. So we see what their interests are. We do background checks on their hobbies. We see what they're sharing on social media. Say, this guy looks like he fit in the tribe, you know. And once that happens, then we bring them to Malta, the head, obviously, and the head takes on. And he spends 2 weeks here with us in the offices, working from our offices, and understands how we do business here.
Okay. So they get to, like, shadow an agent or something like that as well?
Yeah, they shadow an agent, yeah.
And learn it all. And so you have everything, you know, the way you do, like I said, your technology is all there, so they have to fill in the same things in the same way.
Mm.
Have you found differences between Cyprus and Malta that you're like, oh, okay, you know, didn't see that one coming? Or is it really that similar that it's cut and paste.
Well, our biggest issue in Cyprus was the legislation, where Malta agents are not regulated. In Cyprus, they are.
Okay.
So we couldn't operate in Cyprus without having a director. That's why we have a director.
Okay.
He's got a Cyprus a Cypriot license.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I mean, they made it very difficult to penetrate the market. You'd have to be, the exam is in Cypriot.
Mm-hmm.
So although they're European states, it is, but they, that's just the way they do it.
Uh-huh.
It's take it or leave it. So that was quite difficult for us. Their association wouldn't even meet us, you know, so it's quite difficult to penetrate, but you need to be persistent. You need to do everything. You're in a different country, so you need to go, you need to abide by their rules. So. Yeah, it was that was the biggest issue we had. Other than that, I think it's very similar to Malta, so I think it's a great place for
to start and go over.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll be doing more than just property over there? Because I can see a little twinkle in your eye.
I don't know. I don't know yet. I mean, we're a young company.
Mm-hmm.
We have big dreams, but our focus is always going to be first. Focus is property.
Uh huh. And start so with that.
I believe a lot in focus. I think if you start doing different things, losing your focus, things just start to go wrong.
So what have you learned along the way? Because like I said, you are really a relatively new business. What things have you had you learned that you wished you'd known earlier on in time? What, you know, did you waste time on something? Why did we spend so much time doing that when actually here's the answer? And we knew, you know, my gut feel was the right answer, but I just didn't know. Is there anything like that that you can say, yeah, cut to the chase, I would have done it differently?
Yeah, I mean, a lot I would have done differently. But I don't regret anything I've done, because all mm-hmm. the mistakes I've done have brought me to where we are today. But I don't know. I mean, advice to any startups would be, when you're looking for funding, banks are going to waste your time. They ask for a lot of things and then they don't give it to you. Or if they give it to you, it takes a really long time, unless you can have some sort of security. My biggest issue when I started was funding, so I had nothing to mm-hmm. start with. So I gave up a part of my company for work.
Okay.
So that would be definitely a big thing that I would have. I did change, but when I started, the investor didn't only just give me cash; he also gave me his talent and helped us grow.
Okay.
That was a mistake I had made in a previous business where I just got cash as an investment instead of ending up with talent.
Mm.
And I think talent is also, but even if it's just consultation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a bit more involved than just on the board level. I mean, something else that I really found difficult was when one of my key people left. I thought one of my key people left the first time. I thought I didn't know what I was going to do without her. You know, I was freaking out. But everything turns out okay if you prepare yourself.
You have to see these things as an opportunity, I think,
yeah.
sometimes. Because you take it personally, I guess, when it's you've built up this tribe, like you say.
Yeah.
You sort of take it, but she's leaving me. She's not leaving you. She's leaving the company for whatever reasons. But you take it personally and you have to.
You do, but when you're such a big company and people sort of don't get along with everyone all the time, you know, all you're from the same company, people, and I know people need to grow.
Mm.
And sometimes, within an organization with a certain budget, you can only let a specific person go that much. They want to grow more. I really appreciate mm-hmm. all my ex-colleagues, and I look up to all of them, even the ones that left. So
almost sometimes, especially the ones, because they want to be more like you,
yeah,
in a
yeah.
sense. So that's got to be a pat on the back, just like, hey, they want to really achieve. Isn't that dream, believe, achieve? Is that one of your things
yeah.
I've seen you writing about? That's a really nice sort of
thank you.
Saying as well.
It's all over our offices.
So what have you discovered about, are you saying about doing business in Cyprus, the legislation, but what steps did you take to start exporting? When did you think, yeah, now's the time?
I mean, the time of the company, it's obviously to go to Cyprus, we engaged another investor again to help us with mm-hmm. with the massive cash flow that you need to go to a new jurisdiction. I mean, we engaged an audit firm from over there, one of the big four, to
okay.
help us with market study. So we did a market study generic, and then we did another market study on that specific jurisdiction to make sure it is what we needed. And then we went to lawyers for advice. We went down the professional rules.
Uh-huh.
We didn't want to get it wrong, you know, so we did everything by the book.
Uh-huh. So that must be quite difficult, because when you're in Malta, everyone knows you or your dad or your mum, or, you know, they always know somebody, and, you know, just things just happen to get done in Malta for good or bad. That happens. But then when you go overseas, you're like, who? You're a nobody, essentially, and they're not even going to look at what you've achieved in Malta. You're just Steve.
Yeah.
You know?
To be honest with you, our link in Cyprus, funnily enough, my brother was mentioning this, because we have this thing, we attend international fairs.
Okay.
Which cost an arm and a leg. and we attended a lot of fairs. So we generally go to 2-3 fairs a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never got any real business directly from these fairs. And I keep telling my brother, I don't want to go to any fairs anymore. We're going to use the budget for something else. And funny enough, the lawyers we used in Cyprus were sharing a stand next to us.
Okay.
In one of our friends in Dubai. So we spent 3 days next to this woman, laughing.
Uh-huh.
She was joining us for lunch, eating together and everything. And when we wanted to open up in Cyprus, she was a Cypriot lawyer. So when she was there promoting a passport scheme for Cyprus, we were there promoting property for Malta. And we messaged her, my brother emailed her. We went to Cyprus, we had the first meeting with her, she started to introduce us to people, to everyone. So this is how really we penetrated and met the right people, because we trusted someone and we had an introduction with someone before. So that's important, to pick the right people. Now it's like here in Malta, when I get someone from abroad that comes to meet me, and then I introduce them to all the people that I know.
So it works.
Social ladder.
And just a couple of little things. So Quicklets, I'm guessing the name still works in Cyprus. Does Zanzi also work, or does it mean something else? Do you have to check out that you're not saying anything naughty in another language before you
you do actually. With Zanzi, it's super for Greece, because Cyprus and Greece, because there they use a lot of the word the letter Z. In South Africa, though, it does actually mean from down there. From at the end of the garden. Or something like that.
Okay.
Because we went to South Africa and we did a whole tour, a seminar in all of South Africa, across four cities, and they were telling us it means Mzanzi. It's inside the bottom of the garden.
So you might have to change your brand when you export all the way down there.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, it's been really interesting talking to you. That's Steve Merchia from Quicklets and Zanzi Homes, exporting now to Cyprus. Well done.
Thank you. Cheers.
Good luck with it all in the future.
Thank you. Thank you, Monique. Thanks for the invite. Have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exporting Malta, produced by me, Monique Chambers, with technical assistance from Carmelo Grech and Redent Abdillah. This show is aired every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. and repeated on Fridays at 7:30 p.m. here on Campus FM.